We continue our study in John 13. So if you would turn there, and we'll continue our study of this passage. Now, we're learning in this passage from the Gospel of John that God is a servant God. Think about that. We've just read about this God who has almighty wrath. And yet from the Bible we learn that our God is a servant God. As far as we are concerned, all things that God does are acts of service. He maketh the rain to fall on the good and on the evil. He makes every seed to sprout and bring forth every grain for every loaf of bread ever made on the earth. You cut a slice of bread and in it you can see God's provision, God's service to you. Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. He came to offer bread as a host would a guest. He makes the sun to shine on every face, providing warmth and light. Every molecule of air he makes, for every lung that ever was and will be, he made. Without God's provision in everything, nothing would exist. There would be nothing. Jesus Christ did not come to the earth to be served. But on the contrary, he came to the earth to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't have to look far, for all were lost upon the earth. There was none righteous, no, not one. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to earth to serve, and in so doing, he teaches his disciples, including his disciples of the 21st century, that servanthood is the highest position in God's order of things. We are created in the image of God. Now in the garden, they became rebels from that image, departed from that image when they sought their own way. And God said, in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And they died spiritually. But we see in this passage, in John 13, Peter's strong opposition to service. This is what we find in this passage. Peter opposing the service of the Lord. But we also see Jesus' even stronger reaction to this opposition. Jesus is stronger than Peter. Peter opposes and Jesus disposes. Now Peter's turn to have his feet washed comes. He's watching the Lord, washing the feet of the disciples. He's quiet, but when his turn comes, he turns to the Lord and says, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Thou shalt never wash my feet. I can see Peter's insistence. Peter was so bold. You know, boldness is good, but sometimes it's not wise. Thou shalt never wash my feet. But Jesus does not take this opposition lightly. For to hinder someone from service is to indicate that serving is of low value. Oh, we're so quick in this country to indicate that service is of low value. We used to go into the store and there would be someone to come and say, may I help you, sir? Not you guys. I don't want to get on that. May I help you, sir? Well, I'd like to I'd like to buy a shirt. Oh, I have many shirts. And they would escort you over to show you the shirts. Now it's self-service. We can't have servants. You got to serve yourself. So Jesus does not take this opposition lightly. You know, he's on the narrow way. The world is on the broad way. And to hinder God's benefits, to shun God's service, is to lift up oneself with pride as if not in need of those benefits. Now, we're reading Jonathan Edwards' sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And why is God angry? Why is he angry? Well, in a nutshell, God is angry because of man opposing his service. He says to man, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, do you fit in that group? Do you labor? Are you heavy laden? And I will give you rest. Now, this is a message of service. This is an offer of service by God Almighty, and when that service is rejected, God is angry. You know, you bring a cake over to your neighbor. An act of compassion. You bring the cake over. "Oh, I don't want that cake. I don't like that kind." Well, you go, "Well, you're so nice." No, you'd be angry if you had anything to you. Yeah, you'd be angry and sin not, of course. The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Well, your service is refused. And when the service of God is refused, he's angry. God does not take opposition to his service lightly. And that is revealed in this John 13 passage where we hear Jesus say to Peter, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Can you imagine that? Someone saying that? Just because you don't want him to wash your feet. I wouldn't want some of you to wash my feet, nor would you want me to wash your feet. And Jesus says, "If you don't let me wash your feet, you'll have no part with me." Now that's bold. Now we may see this as an out of the ordinary strong reaction, but this is the heart of God regarding service. He came to serve for our benefit. He's a servant God. He came to serve for our benefit, and to shun that service is to tell God we know better than him what is best for us. Oh, most of the world will say that. Who needs God? That's just a crutch. Oh, I need that crutch. I need lots of crutches. I need the service of God, and God extends benefits to me, and when I shun those benefits, he's angry. Now, Jesus knows Peter, walked with Peter 3 years, has heard these kind of statements from Peter for 3 years. He knows the boldness of Peter, and I'm sure he loves Peter. He loves Peter because he is bold. Now he has to learn to know how, when to be bold. You can't be bold all the time. You have to be wise in your boldness, and that'll come for Peter. But he knows his impetuous and impulsive reactions, so he begins his response to Peter with patience. Reading in John 13:7, Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." My, there was a lot of that in Christ's ministry. There was a lot of that in Christ's ministry when, in time to come, when the Lord had gone home to be with him, the disciples would discuss. Remember when the Lord said this? And when the Lord said this? And one of the disciples would say, "I believe the Holy Spirit has given me what that means." And they would delve deeper. So in this response, Jesus is giving instruction to all of us to dig deep in our study of his actions and his words. Be more than a surface Bible reader. You know, God said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Now, what does that mean? I've talked about it before. I'll tell about it again. Study to show thyself approved. Every time you study, you see in the Word of God what needs to be washed. You know, it's kind of like looking in the mirror. Why do you look in the mirror this morning? Oh, that face looked pretty bad, didn't it? Get out of bed looking in the mirror and, "Ooh, I got to do some work here. I got to do some work. I might be in the bathroom twice as long today." Why? Well, you're studying. You're studying to find your deficiencies so that you can wash those deficiencies away. And that's what the Scripture is. You know, you study the Script. Boy, that fits me to a T. Well, some people say, "Boy, that fits Joe to a T." Oh, there's Bill over there. Oh, Zachary. There's Zachary over there. No, you got to look your face in the mirror. You don't bring your friends in and look at their face in the mirror. You study to show yourself approved. And Jesus is saying to Peter, "What I'm doing now, you'll understand later." Jesus Christ wants Peter to learn that what he is doing now by washing the feet of his disciples is a picture of his work to come. There was more to it. And that's why Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet now, I'll have no part with you." Because he was talking about the more to it. The washing of Peter's feet, that's a one-time event, but he's talking about a lifetime event. This is a sample of the work, or a picture of the work, which he will perform for his people when he returns to the Father. Now, there's not going to be a towel. There's going to be no basin. There's going to be no water. But each of these things represent what will be done for God's children by the daily washing of the Word of God. Oh, how important it is to get your feet washed every day by the Word of God. You submit yourselves to the Word of God, and the washing takes place. "Peter, you do not see this now, but you will when the Holy Spirit teaches you all things." Now that's why it's so important to be born again. You're not going to see these things. The Holy Spirit is not going to reveal these things to you unless you're born again, born of the Spirit. Have you been born of the Spirit? Has there been a time in your life when you've repented of your sins and called upon God, who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest"? Well, that happened to me. I turned to God. My wife and I turned to God, repented of our sins, and gloriously were saved. And the Holy Spirit came to dwell. And now I can call upon God. I can look at this and I can see God's message to me. So this is a gentle rebuke to you, Peter. Faith should have guided you in your speech and in your thoughts. Think about this, Peter, the next time you object to God's service. Does not the Lord do all things well? You know, you think about that. Now, Bill, the Lord does all things well in your life. You're going through some tough times. I weep for you. But the Lord does all things well. Everything the Lord does, He does well. So, Peter, if I ask you to submit your feet to me, remember that. The Lord does all things well. If I want to wash your feet, should you question that? But Peter does question that. For he is impulsive. As we said in John 13:8, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Oh, you know, if you were Peter, what would you think? Would you be bold like Peter? Well, we'll see how bold he was again. I mean, he was shocked. Peter thought about that. This is important to the Lord. I don't know what it's all about. But the Lord just told me if I don't submit my feet to Him, He'll have no part with me. I've been walking with Him for 3 years. Oh, maybe tears shed. But the language here is so imperative. Peter has said, Lord, you will never wash my feet at any time or at any place. Why should I, the servant, be washed by my master? Well, Peter, you don't know that God is a servant God. Everything you have came from God. Everything you have came from the hand of God. But he said, you will never, never, never wash my feet. Be careful about saying never. I'll never say never again, because here I am in love again. Remember that song? Never. Oh, we say never too often, too quick. And Peter said, too quick. But the Lord said, if I wash thee not, if I wash thee not, if I wash thee not. In this, Jesus Christ tells us that only He can wash a man, woman, boy, or girl into being a Christian. You cannot wash yourself into being a Christian. You come to the Lord with dirty, you come to the Lord with a dirty body. You can't wash clean enough to be acceptable to the Lord. But Christ only saves those whom He washes, and those who will wash themselves do not have the right cleansing agent for the job. It can't be done. Only the blood of Christ can wash away sin. And this is true not only for the saving of our souls, where the washing of the whole man is required, but for the washing of our defiled walk. Now here's the getting into the spiritual message here. There's a defiled walk. Yes, I was washed clean. When I was born again, just like in the hospital, they take the little baby. Oh, this is a terrible looking baby. But you wash him up. And you present him to the mom, and that's the most beautiful baby in the world. Why? Because they're clean. Well, not only because they're clean, but it's her baby. But this is the walk. Our feet get dirty and require a daily cleansing, not by ourselves, but by Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. We're cleansed daily by the washing of the Word of God. See the spiritual message here. Jesus Christ is telling Peter in this passage that fellowship with Him requires Peter to submit his feet to Jesus Christ. Peter must submit his feet that have gotten dirty that day to the Word of God, so the Word of God can wash off the dirt of his daily walk. Peter, this is not simply confession of sin and God's forgiveness. Peter, it is the searching out of the word of that which leads you and me into sin. What leads me into sin? Find it out in the word. It is allowing the light of the word of God to do a work of grace in your heart. You know, how would you know what pleases God were it not for the word of God? Oh, there's all kinds of ideas in the world. Remember Luther crawling up those steps, bleeding on the knees, weeping and wailing. Oh, this will please God. No, that didn't please God. Let the light in and search out those ways in your heart that are your ways, ways that are not God's ways. You know, as a Christian, we're to take on God's ways and shed our ways as the dirt falls off of our feet. Ways that the dusty trails of the world teach you. It is the attitude of the psalmist in 139, 23, and 24, where the psalmist cries out. It's almost, you can read it in it, that the psalmist is crying out. He's helpless. And he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Dig deep, Lord, in my heart. Reveal to me what offends. Try me, put me through the tests, Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now this is the moans, the prayers, the desires of those that love God and want to be pure. Oh, how we want to be pure. You think about as the Lord calls us up and gives us a new body, we take on pureness and sin is gone. Oh, how the child of God longs for that. And that's expressed in that psalm. So that is why it is so important to daily study God's word so God can do the washing away of the dirt of our daily walk. God does not take us away from the dirt of this world. You know, that's what a lot of folks want to do. We need to clean up the environment. If we clean up the environment, everybody will be clean. No. God doesn't say, "I'm going to take away the dirt of this world." Jesus does not rebuke his disciples for having dirty feet. He doesn't say, "Well, you're a nasty disciples. Look at those dirty feet." Doesn't say that. Because as long as we are in this world, our feet will get dirty, and God knows that. But he has provided a remedy to remove the dirt, and that remedy is the Word of God. This is the towel. This is the basin. And this is the water that washes away the dirt of the day. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You want to be approved unto God. You know, you think about facing the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. I think about it as standing in line. You know, everybody's standing in line and you face him. You know, we're not faced for salvation purposes. We're faced for works purposes, what you've done with your life. And don't you long for the words from our Savior that says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And notice how he uses that word, servant. That's the image of God. And that's the image that ought to be on us as we serve God in this short time that we have on this earth. Father, we are thankful for the many blessings that we have in Christ. We're thankful, Father, for the washing of the Word. We walk through this veil of tears. We walk through this troublesome world. Our feet get dirty. And yet, Father, you've provided, as you always do, a remedy. And we can have that remedy by flooding our souls with the Word of God, the cleansing Word of God. Bless us now as we go to our service this morning, and bless our pastor, Father, as he preaches and teaches us, that we might be servants of God. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.